RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Friday morning. I'm reading now from the Federated Farmers website, fedfarm.org.nz. Government stops march of pines across farmland. The government's move to stop carbon credits being earned on productive farmland is welcome news, but changes must also be made to the way we set our international emissions targets. Federated Farmers says, "This is great news," is a quote from the government, that it will be taking steps to stop the relentless march of pine trees across our productive farmland, says forestry spokesman Toby Williams, who's with us right now. Morning, Toby.
Morning, Paul.
So this was an election promise.
It was an election promise, yeah. It's in one of those things from Federated Farmers. We've been working with the previous government and in the National Party last year and now the government to actually get this across the line. So finally it's happened, and farming has just breathed a massive sigh of relief that we've evened the playing field out a little bit.
What sort of effort did that take?
Oh, it's just lots of backroom conversations and, showing them, what's happening in our rural communities and just constantly reminding them of the fact that, we've got goals of doubling our export values, and we can't do that if we keep losing land to pine trees which aren't going to be harvested for 30-odd years just, to cover our emissions profile. So it's been, it's been probably about 5 years of me doing this, and locally first and then down in Parliament. So it's really pleasing to get it across the line.
5 years. All right. Okay, I mean, it goes pretty quick, but it's still a period of time. What's the devil's in the detail? What is some of the detail that you can tell us about then?
Yeah, so land class 1 to 5, which is our best productive land, it's our flats and easy rolling country, where all the major finishing is. So that's now ineligible to be entered into the ETS. So you can still plant a pine tree on it, no problems at all. If that's the best use of the land, then you're more than welcome to still, plant a pine tree on it, but you just can't enter them to ETS. Land class 6, there's 15,000 hectares a year that you can apply to plant. So that's what our getting into our breeding country. And then class 7, 8, and 9 are still open to be, fully converted into pine trees and entered into the ETS.
Is that not such good land?
No, that's a real steep stuff. Like class 8 and 9 is really steep, pretty unproductive land if we're really honest. And class 7, depending where you are in the country, some of that class 7 lands can be really good. But you've got a bit of a balance there from the government. You've got to draw a line somewhere, and we think it's an appropriate place to put it.
So everything that's been planted, regardless of what the conditions are now, stays there, right?
Yeah, and everything that was planned to be planted up until the 4th of December. So if you'd been having some discussions with forestry consultants, or you'd ordered some trees to the nursery and it was going into that class 1 to 5 land, you're still able to do that. However, if you hadn't thought about it yet and you're about to start doing it before Christmas, or you're going to start early next year, you no longer can do that. So you can still plant it, you just can't claim the ETS credits.
So obviously the market, you hope, does its work. So that land, the good land, the demand for that will instantly go, right? Selling opportunities that people thought they might have had lined up have gone.
Yeah, they have to a degree. But the other part, what the government announced, and we're still really happy with this as well, is that if you own that land, you can still plant 25% of it and register it into the ETS. So you've got some flexibility within there. So it's, it is pretty tough to, it's not as tough as it might have been. So you can still plant 25% of that 1 to 5 if it's your own property. But what we're really happy about is you can't plant 100% anymore, which has been the issue we've had.
Okay, so how long does it take to see, because we've been talking about, the changes in rural communities and all those things that have happened already, right? They're real, right?
Yeah, we've probably still got, realistically, probably another 2 or 3 years of planting to roll out before we actually, get to the end of what's gone before. The stuff's still sitting in front of the Overseas Investment Office and things like that. So there's still a fair bit to roll out in the space. But what we know now is that if you're a young farmer and you're trying to buy a farm, you've got less likelihood of having to keep, of having to compete with the carbon industry, which is where we need it to be.
I see there are, exemptions for Maori-owned land? Is that an issue for anyone?
No, that's not an issue at all. That's that land can't be sold. And, they've left that intact. And that was one of those, it came out maybe right at the start of the Ardern government around then, where they had some issues around there where they said you can do what you like and then they retracted it. So You know, this government has learned the lessons from that, and they're leaving it there for some more negotiations, because that land's very different to freehold land, that multi-title land. So,
why don't you think these distinctions were made originally?
That's a really good question. I think what you've got is an overwhelming desire by, you know, all these governments. You know, John Key, goes back to John Key, you know, signing up to the Paris Accord and looking at our emissions profile, and our pathway seems to have been, we'll offset, not reduce emissions. And that's been our biggest issue. Our only tool we seem to have is by offsetting. So by planting pine trees and saying, look, now we've done it, we're now net zero. We're not reducing our emissions we're putting out. So we need to see some, you know, changes to how we, you know, treat our emissions and what we do with them if we're serious about climate change.
Yeah, there's always the risk, isn't there, that, you know, it's a partisan thing and the pendulum swings one way, then the other lot get back in and it can swing back the other way, because they're not going to suspend their beliefs, are they?
No, and that's it. And, you know, what we want to really be concerned about now, and there's more announcements to come, around, you know, these new Paris goals, or, you know, the Baku goals or whatever they are, they've almost doubled the amount that we've got to do. And New Zealand's going to have a big question about how do we achieve that? You know, there's only two ways. If we sign up, there's only two ways to achieve that. One is to write a stonking big check out to, you know, to some developing countries. And the other one is to plant our productive farmland. And we saw the Climate Change Commission come out the other day. 880,000 hectares, they believe, needs to be planted just so we're net zero. It's not reducing emissions. That's under these new targets. And if we did that, then, you know, that's just crazy. That's New Zealand absolutely buggered.
So, as it is a technical term.
That
area of land, I mean, I know, you know, it's a lot, but can we visualize that somehow? That, you know, what would the footprint of that size
so be? So, Molesworth Station is our biggest station in New Zealand. It's 15 Molesworth stations.
Oh,
I think
okay.
If we took like the entire East Cape and Hawke's Bay and going down to the Wairarapa, it's a land area like that size. It's massive and it's really, really big.
And they think we can do that, obviously.
We need to do it. That's what they, and there's been some media, you know, media articles from the Climate Change Commission really screaming about that we have to do this. It is an absolute climate emergency. If New Zealand doesn't do this, then the world's going to burn. I mean, that's crazy rhetoric, you know, from an organisation that's supposed to be, you know, they're apolitical, we're supposed to deliver science-based solutions. The only solution they're delivering is destroying what we have. And I think if we sign up to these new targets that were, you know, negotiated up in Baku, then, you know, and we decide we're going to write a big cheque to buy some international credits, I'm pretty sure if you ask most New Zealanders whether they would prefer to do that, or build a new hospital in Dunedin, build some new motorways up to Northland. You know, they're looking at $10 billion. It's not chump change we're talking about.
Why don't we just walk away? That's what I'd do.
Yeah, and that's a bit, there is, you know, a growing sentiment about that. I think, you know, if we keep the current targets that we've got, they're actually potentially achievable. We need the ETS to actually change, to actually drive behaviour change. The government needs to look at what they're doing. They've got these big polluters in terms of New Zealand Steel, TY Point, all these guys who get free credits. They get a free pass to pollute as much as they like. Yet the poor old farmers are here. We've been told we have to pay for our emissions. You know, your fuel taxes have, you know, are paying towards your carbon emissions. So, and we saw with the Ardern government what, you know, when petrol prices got really high, what was the first thing she did? She put a tax relief in on, you know, they cut the tax on petrol.
Mm.
Well, that flies in the face of changing our people's behavior.
Well, that's because people will get too grumpy, you see.
Yeah, so therefore, you know, to achieve these goals that are set up by the Climate Change Commission or the government, they've actually got to be realistic and not cost New Zealanders a shitload of money or, you know, or destroy us. I mean, we've got to grow our economy. We need to be back to being the rock star economy like after the global financial crisis. And the way we're being treated at the moment, we're going to be a pauper. We'll be like Zimbabwe.
I don't like that term rock star economy anymore, by the way.
No, well, we don't know. So we need a growing active economy.
A high-performing economy.
High-performing economy, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a comparison I'm using at the moment is that we go back to the 1980s 1970s of Zimbabwe. What was Zimbabwe was the breadbasket of Africa.
Look what happened.
And they turned into the basket case of Africa because of poor policy.
Well, look at Ukraine. Same.
Yeah.
Breadbasket of Europe or whatever, or the world. All right. So what's the you probably haven't had much time, but what have farmers been saying as this is becoming known?
Yeah, you can hear the collective sigh of relief. You know, finally, one of the big things we've been asking for has actually occurred. It's retrospective, so the law hasn't passed yet. However, it won't be till October, but they've said the 4th of December 2024
is the cutoff.
No more. Yeah. Is the cutoff. So, and people are just, you know, they're really happy. It was a good day. It was an early Christmas present for a lot of farmers. And having those tools and still be able to plant 25% of your farm, entering the ETS, gives you some income diversification. But it also goes to the point around us saying, well, you know, we should have been doing lots of small areas on lots of farms, not a handful of massive farms to solve this goal. If we work together, we can actually still achieve our goals.
Can we make farming great again, Toby?
We're working really hard. I mean, at Federated Farmers, you know, we're flogging ourselves trying to do this. You know, I've had a trying to get wool. Wool was my big
Yeah, we've talked about wool before, you two.
We have,
Us two, I mean.
Dairy's amazing, isn't it? Like almost, you know, was it $10 an ounce yesterday, midpoint? Beef prices are the best they've ever been, and sheep prices are actually pretty good. So we need to, you know, we need to get some confidence back into farmers that, you know, the regulations are going, that we're not going to be treated like the pariahs we're set out to be. And we actually get, we, you know, we can use primary sector to grow our economy and create more high-value jobs.
We just don't want to freak people out about loosening up GM, but that's for another day, Toby. We could talk about that, let's say.
It certainly is, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a big topic. And, you know, I imagine your listeners have very strong views on where we should be going with that.
Yeah, well, NZDIR, 10 to 20 billion hit could be. Anyway, we can talk about that another day. But thanks for coming on this morning, Toby. Really interesting.
No, pleasure. Thank you very much, Paul. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Toby Williams, Federated Farmers Chair and Forestry Spokesperson.
Hi, Peter Williams here. Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email or hit the join email button on your RCR app.